when I really sat down and looked at all of the roles and all the skills that were needed, and as I went through the vetting process, I just kept thinking, well, what if I was just let this go? Like if my goal is for me not to be involved, I need to let go of how I would do it. I need to let go of how I've predetermined how this is going to go. And so taking that step back, having the conversations with each of these team members before they were even hired, saying, here's what we want to do. How would you approach this? How would you do this? And their answers to that question is how I knew we had the right person for that role.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. Welcome, welcome. This is Tyler Basu. I'm here with Chuck Anderson. And we are jumping in today to help share some insights on building your team and managing a team of people to help with your marketing. This is a process that we've had to go through over the past 6+ months now. It's taken us to build our team to the point where myself and Chuck, we're just kind of the last eyes on everything that's created, but we've now built the systems and trained the people in place to do like 90% or more of the work. And Chuck, I have to give you credit for that because I did practically nothing. It was you who found everyone that we hired, helped train them, helped clarify their outcomes, their expectations, set up a lot of the systems in Asana and Google Drive and all the tools that we're using.
Yeah.
And the reason we're jumping into this is as a topic is because I think a lot of business owners underestimate just how many people and skills are actually involved in a content marketing, or even more broadly, just a marketing system and operation in general. Chuck, why do you think that is? Why do you think that people have believed that they could maybe just hire one or two people to do their marketing and think that that might be enough?
You know, with all the conversations that I've had with people about this, it usually seems to be a reaction. You know, they know they need to be doing the content marketing. A lot of influencers start off doing their own content marketing, doing all their own posts on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn. And then as their business grows, there's this reality that they need to be more of who they are in terms of speaking events and being the key content creator and the leader of their company. And there comes a time where the content marketing becomes a full-time job. In fact, if you were to add up everything that we do for a client, it would take a person probably 25 to 30 hours a week to do everything on their own. So that's a huge piece. So then the reaction is, oh, I'm going to go hire a VA who can do this for me, thinking that all I need is a pair of hands to do this. But when it really comes down to this, you need specialized skills in different areas. I mean, someone who's good at graphics design is not necessarily good at editing video. And someone who's good at editing video is not necessarily going to be the one who writes the content or a copywriter for your blog or for your social posts. And then you also need someone to post everything and get it scheduled out. And you know, we figured out that there's about 5 or 6 different roles and skills that need to be present in order to be good at it. And no one person is really good at all of it. I think people try, a lot of the influencers try. Even if you hired an experienced content manager, you're probably not getting someone who's good at all of it. And so, you know, it was a huge lesson for us because we started off same way. We had a single VA trying to do everything. And she was good at some things, not as good at other things. And that's where we really discovered a lot of this.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there is a myth too, that any one person has all 5 or 6 of those skill sets. Like I've been a content manager before, spent 3 years in that role, and I do not consider myself an expert at any one of those different skills. I was really good at a few of them, good enough at some of them. And so a lot of these things were put on my plate, but that wasn't really scalable. What was a better use of my time was managing the specialized skill sets and, you know, being a part of the strategy overall and the deliverables, figuring out what those were and the timelines for everything, and then having other people that were, you know, specialized in one particular part do those individual tasks. But the reality is, for a lot of business owners who can't yet afford full-time in-house employees, like a content manager, for example, we looked up the average salary of a content manager in the US, and it's over 60 grand a year. So that's you as an entrepreneur needing to spend $5,000 a month just on one person. And that one person, technically their skill set is managing all of the other skill sets. So then you need to figure out, are you getting freelancers? Are you hiring more employees internally? Like, to have your content marketing operation managed in-house becomes a pretty expensive commitment that a lot of early stage businesses, six-figure businesses even, it's a tight budget for them to have to fork out, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 a month into people and resources and content creation and tools and all that kind of stuff. So what's really cool about what Chuck and I have put together is that we've trained these specialized people. They each own one part of that content marketing process. And as you said, Chuck, there's about six different skill sets now. And I think that's exactly how many team members we've got now that will touch, you know, one client's deliverables. Like, there's going to be about, I think we're up to six people involved. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have five that are in the individual skills. So yeah, okay. Graphics design, copywriting, social media, posts,
yeah.
The automation of the posts, and a video editor. And then we have a sixth person who is sort of more of a project manager that keeps them on track with the timeline and is also trained because of her background in writing to be able to proof everything that gets created.
She's like, and a make quality sure that check.
It meets our standards.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's gotten to the point where now just Tyler and I need to look at it at the very end before it goes out to a client, much the way a chef will inspect the dishes before it goes out to the customers waiting in the restaurant. So we have this team that's putting all this stuff together. We just give it the final look at the end. Mm-hmm. And so these are the roles that we have identified that we need skilled people in each area. Now, it's easy to try to cut corners with that. For example, our video editor, really good at video editing, not as good at graphics design, although he gives it his best try. And we did try that for a while. But when we actually went and hired somebody who was really good at the graphics design, big difference. Mm-hmm. So each person does what their best skill is. And we just kind of move that through along, kind of like a little assembly line that comes out the other end, content that's ready to post and highly engaging and looks great.
And that most recent hire, the project manager, that was basically, that was the necessary step to remove us, and especially Chuck, from more of the client fulfillment system. Because without that role, we were essentially content managers, or Chuck was essentially the content manager overseeing all of these freelancers. And that role, again, of content manager is not as valuable as the role of running her operations and helping with partnerships and bringing in more clients and managing finances and all that kind of stuff, right? There's other stuff that we need Chuck to be focused on that's more a better use of his time than managing that. So that was when we started feeling like we're becoming bottlenecks in some of the deliverables. Like, that means we need to hire somebody to come in and solve that bottleneck so we can step out of that and focus on something that is a more higher value task to the business itself.
Well, content production is not my superpower, right? So it's something that we did as business owners, you know, out of necessity in terms of fulfilling promises to clients. What I need to be doing in our business every single day is not that. I need to be developing partnerships, strategic alliances with other companies, and stuff that really can multiply our business, not you know, worrying about, hey, is this color meeting brand guidelines, and this text correct, and oh, let's tweak this video editing. We can hire out all of those skills, and when we got this running as a machine, that got a lot easier, and I was able to remove myself from that, and focus on what the most valuable skill I have and the contribution I have, which is business development. And most of our clients are in that situation as well. They didn't get into this to be skilled at any of these things either. I mean, a lot of them are speakers. Their best skill is being on stage somewhere, or coaching someone, or coaching groups, or leading courses. It's not all of the skills we just talked about. So, you know, by doing this, it frees you up so you can do the thing that's really going to move your business forward and have it grow and multiply.
Yeah. And we made a conscious choice to work with business owners that see themselves as business owners first and foremost, not as content creators. There are a ton of content creators out there that hope to someday build a business around their audience and around their content, but they're spending so much time producing their own stuff, editing their own stuff, promoting their own stuff, to the point where that it's becoming a full-time job, them just being a content creator, that they hope can become a business. Whereas making that shift and realizing that if your goal is to run a business, you are a business owner first and foremost, and therefore you need to really, really protect your time. And as much as you might like creating content or like marketing activities, you can only give a small percentage of your schedule to those things, because the rest of your schedule has to go to operations, team, strategic meetings, partnerships, finance, client fulfillment. Like, you need to oversee all of the other parts of your business as well. So you just can't, there's a constraint on your time. You cannot spend all your time creating content, even if that's the thing that you like to do. And so a lot of people will forever be content creators, and that's totally fine. Some people love to be writers. Some people want to be a YouTuber, whatever. Those aren't the people that we're working with, because we're working with the people that need to protect their time, have expertise, are able to trade a little bit of time to help with producing some content, but everything that happens afterwards, it has to be handled by other people. And whether they do that in-house, that's cool. You know, we're able to work with companies that if they want to train their marketing teams in-house, we can support them with that. Or if they just want to completely hand it off, outsourced, we can support them in that way as well. But Chuck, for people that recognize they need to hire help, they need to start divvying up all of the different things involved in marketing, assign them to specialized roles. How far in advance would you say we started looking for each role? Like, how did we recognize what the next role we needed was? And about how long was that ramp up time of finding them, training them, and before they were able to be brought into that, into our fulfillment system?
Yeah. Well, not soon enough, as is the case, I think, in a lot of businesses. And, you know, I mentioned the reaction. You know, I would love to say that, you know, I or we were very proactive about it. We knew it was something we needed to do, but it was something that we felt we kind of ramped up to. And then it wasn't until we were completely overwhelmed with work that it's like, oh man, we probably should have done this a month ago or whatever. So that's a big part of it. And I think a lot of people are reacting. So I don't want to, you know, if you're listening right now and this is happening to you, I mean, you know, get that stuff off your plate immediately, because it's stopping you from growing your business for sure. But from the point that we decided, say, okay, we should not be doing this, we're going to build a team. And so starting the process, first of all, of identifying all of the roles. And so when I first did this, I made a list of all these different skills, all the different tasks. And you know, it looked like there was going to be like 10 different freelancers on the team. But when we really broke it down, when we really started to look at it and group things together in a logical way, where this person can do their role and then this person does it, and it kind of passes through an assembly line, we got it down to the five roles we talked about earlier, plus the content manager. Once we had that, it was a matter of writing a description of the type of person, the type of skills that we needed to do. So we had to write job descriptions for all of these things. We had to decide what were the skills that we needed. Once you're clear on that, it gets a little bit easier. We were very fortunate. We used a great service for helping to find freelancers where they send us pre-vetted freelancers where it's a short list. So by the time I posted the job description, I had a short list of two or three decent candidates for each role, and then was able to make that selection. But the big difference maker was, you know, giving them a test. You know, here's a job, send it back to me, and get an idea of the work that they do. And so that whole process, in my mind, thought was going to take a week. Probably took 3 weeks, and to the point where we were satisfied with every member on the team. And then bringing those together, team meetings, we weren't doing team meetings before, found out that's critical, having a team meeting so that everybody understands their role for the week, how that impacts everyone else on the team, not just their individual tasks, and you know, what are the goals. And also, if there's any roadblocks or obstacles, let's deal with them right there on the meeting. You know, so everyone has that clarity. So from the time that we, you know, it was about 3 weeks to the point where we really felt we had the team members, we implemented the team meeting and got the sort of the project manager in place. You know, that was all about 5 weeks. And we're now to the point where, you know, 5-6 weeks later, to the point where they can do, I would say 90% of it on their own, with very, very little intervention from me. And we will get to 100% by the end of the month.
And Chuck, you mentioned that, like, you know, content marketing, content creation, repurposing, like all the stuff that we've been doing, it's not your wheelhouse. It's not what you've done with all of your, you know, years of experience. And so, and even myself, like I there was a lot of repurposing stuff and tools that are being used and graphic design and editing. I wouldn't even know how to do that stuff, right? So I think what has worked well has been us recognizing that in many cases, you and I both don't actually have the best process of how to do a certain task. But what we do have is the clear outcome of like what we want the deliverable to be like. And then we've hired people that knew how to get us the outcome. And in many cases, they even went in and improved the process a little bit. And this becomes a kind of a limitation for a lot of entrepreneurs that say they want to delegate, but they want to delegate their way of doing it. That just means that you're hiring somebody to do a process that you've already created, but there's an assumption there that your process is the best process. What if somebody else can get the same outcome more efficiently, faster, less expensive? Like, you got to let them do their thing. That's why you hire good people, is because they show up to the table with skills, not just needing step-by-step training all the time. So there's been a balance of us we've provided some steps, some checklists, some frameworks, but we've communicated the expectation to our team that, hey, if you're able to flag, you know, an inefficiency, please do. If you see an opportunity to improve a process, please do. The most important thing is the outcomes and the deliverables, not necessarily the step-by-steps and the, you know, what we thought was the best way to accomplish that deliverable. Am I making any sense there?
Well, you're making huge sense, because that was some of our pain last year when we first started working with freelancers, is that we sat down and thought we had to design all the steps, all the procedures. And we designed the way we would do it when it's us doing it. And some early pain with that is trying to find freelancers who could just be us. Just be more like us. Just do it the way we do it. And while it was sort of okay, we got stuff out, there was huge problems with that. And that is that there was very little flow. There was lots of obstacles. It still had a large reliance on us, particularly me, that became a roadblock and a bottleneck to our process. And when I really sat down and looked at all of the roles and all the skills that were needed, and as I went through the vetting process, I just kept thinking, well, what if I was just let this go? Like, if my goal is for me not to be involved, I need to let go of how I would do it. I need to let go of how I've predetermined how this is going to go. And so taking that step back, having the conversations with each of these team members before they were even hired, saying, here's what we want to do. How would you approach this? How would you do this? And their answers to that question is how I knew we had the right person for that role. Yep. And so each one of them answered to their own skill that and their superpower that we were bringing them in for, what we should do and what we should not do. And if they had that kind of answer, I knew I had the right kind of person. And we built a really kick-ass team, I think, by doing that. And they are not doing things the way I would have done them.
Well, and I remember my way of doing something back, I think last summer, we had set up, you know, we have these content calendars on Asana, right? And so for ourselves and for each client, there's a board, which is essentially the production line of any content we've received from them and the steps for the repurposing that's happening, the publishing, like the editing, publishing, promotion, all these different steps, right? And so there's checklists for all these things. And I think it was me who created the first version of how we wanted that board laid out, which was taken from how I did it for me when I held that role for Thinkific, because I had my Asana board laid out a certain way and that worked for me. And then I tried to turn that into a template and replicate that and bring that in. And then a few weeks in, as Chuck's training our team and giving our team stuff to do, he flagged that and said, actually, that way might work for you, but for our team, we got to do it this way. And then we ended up completely changing the templates, right? It's not the way that I would have done it, but it's the better way. You know, it's the better way for managing a team that has five or six people touching one content board instead of just one person touching the content board, if that makes sense.
And specifically with the goal of removing the dependence on you and me to be part of the process.
Exactly.
And that's the only way our company can grow is if we can create that system, that machine for pumping out, you know, the content to fulfill on our clients. Because you and I are best, you know, with the strategy and with selling and creating strategic alliances, also public speaking. Those are the things we should be doing. And so now this has allowed us to step back and fulfill, I think, in a higher quality way than we were doing before, because now we're focusing on things we're the best at,
yep,
while letting our team do the things that they're the best at.
For sure. So Chuck, why don't we wrap up with just a couple of recommendations for tools? Like what are some of the tools that we've leaned on to build this production line of managing deliverables and delegating work to our team members? What are like the top two or three or four tools that we're using to manage this stuff?
The number one tool that you need to have is a way of clearly setting to-dos and communicating with your team. And for that, we use Asana. And so Asana is where we can manage our workflow, we can assign tasks to our team, and for communication, our threaded conversations that are attached to either tasks or projects where we can collaborate with our team very, very easily. Mm-hmm. So at the foundation of all of this is Asana. And it would be very, very difficult to manage without some sort of system. I mean, there's other project management systems out there that you could use. Asana was the right one for us. We tried lots of them. You know, we tried Basecamp. I've used Basecamp on other projects. It's decent. It would be my number two choice for sure. And there's other ones as well. Asana was for us. We still use Slack for some in-between communication, but I think we will phase it out. Like, I think we can do everything in Asana for that. So that's number one, is you got to have some way of managing the tasks and the workflow and the expectations. So second of all is with regards to, you know, the delivery of the content is, you know, one of our biggest tools, honestly, is Google Drive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Like Google Drive for simply sharing content and files and all of that with the team, with a side order of Dropbox right, for the really large files, because, you know, Google Drive doesn't handle video files all that well.
Yeah, it does this weird thing where video, it's got to process a video and it can take a little while sometimes.
Yeah.
So somebody else can't watch it as soon as you've put it in a folder.
Yeah. So that was huge. So, and it integrates really well with Asana and Slack. So, you know, it's seamless. So if somebody doesn't have access to something that they need, it pings me on Slack right away. I click a button, they have access to it, and no more bottleneck, no more obstacle. And so those were huge. But I think the big one that helps us to deliver the final product, and because we'll take 12 videos from a client and turn that into 144 pieces of content. If you're going to post all of that manually, you've got a huge job. So we use buffer.com to pre-schedule all of that out. So once the content is created and approved by the client, we publish it out using Buffer. And so that way you're getting those daily posts, everything's done. And so we have a team member who's trained on how to take all the content that the team produces, put it in there, and the content deliverables are automated.
Yeah.
So those would be our top three.
Cool. Cool. Well, I think we'll wrap up there, and we can definitely link to those resources if anyone's not using any of those tools and wants to check them out. We can drop some links below the video. If you have any questions, like if you're in the process of trying to outsource some stuff, get some stuff off your plate, or even train people internally, if you have any questions on this topic or any insights of your own you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. So feel free to reach out, and we'll wrap up there. Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.